Today, I want to begin with a confession, and that confession is I still like getting Christmas gifts. I don't know if that's okay or not. You would think I would have grown out of that by now, and I do know that Jesus is the reason for the season. I'm a professional Christian. I know that giving is better than receiving. I get all that, but I haven't really grown up out of the fact that I still like getting Christmas gifts. And in fact, I've got some relatives who are here today, and I've been known to kind of throw out some hints, some subtle hints about what they could get me for Christmas. And it's kind of subtle, but there's some of us in our family that, you know, maybe they haven't done the shopping like they needed to do, and I'll see them in a couple of days. So just wanted to let them know, hey, I'm here. I'm here. So I still like it. And the fact is, I don't think you can blame me. I want to blame and credit three people for the fact that I've never really gotten out of the fact that I still like Christmas gifts. The first one is Santa Claus. The second one is my mom. And the third one is my dad. Those three people know how to give great Christmas gifts. And I've just never recovered, even in the old age of 53. Now, to share with you, let me show you some of the great, my favorite Christmas gifts growing up as a kid. This is me and this is my brother John. And we got these bikes for Christmas, which is really cool. This is John, and he might be getting me an iPhone in a couple of days. That's awesome. Another great, one of my favorite gifts growing up, this one, some of you remember this, remember that? Yeah, Evel Knievel, yeah, that's awesome. And then one of the top gifts I ever got as a kid, this one right here. I don't know if y'all remember that or not. Now, to give our students a perspective on this, this is our version of Fortnite right here, okay? So I just love Christmas gifts, and I've never grown out of that. Now, you have to understand, my dad also, he would do this, right? Right before we would all sit down. I have an older sister who's here, younger brother, my older brother. And so we would sit down, and we would have a soundtrack. As we kind of round the corner to go to see the Christmas tree to get the gifts, my dad had music playing to kind of build the moment. And so I want to kind of take you back so you can hear the soundtrack of the Henderson Christmas morning. This is what it sounded like as we ran toward the Christmas tree. Isn't that awesome? We have our own soundtrack. That's awesome. So something happened, though. Something happened to Wendy and me 20 years ago. We had kids of our own. And as much as I enjoyed getting Christmas gifts as a parent, I love giving gifts to my kids. In fact, they'll tell you, even 2 days from now, even at the age of 19 and 17, they will sit down on the stairs and we will play the Hallelujah chorus for them as they go to the Christmas tree, all right? Now, the reason I say that is this really indicative of something that's true about the Christmas story. If you're a parent, you're a grandparent, you understand this. But if you're not a parent, if you're an aunt or uncle or brother or sister, you know what it's like when you have a gift and you're so excited because you know the person on the other side of this is going to love it. This is the perfect gift for them. So when Wendy and I had kids, we just love giving good gifts to our kids. The reason I bring that up is Jesus knew that. And he said something about that. And in what Jesus says, it's an indicator, it's a spotlight on the heart of our Heavenly Father. Because if you know how to give good gifts, you need to know something about the God we're talking about today. He's a great, outstanding gift giver. But don't take my word for it. This is what Jesus said. He said, if you then, who are evil, if you know how to give good gifts, if you know what that is like to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? In other words, if you know how to give good gifts, and you do, how much more will the God of heaven give good gifts to his children? See, I don't know what you think about God today. I don't know if you think he's disappointed in you, if he's frustrated, you think he's got his arms folded and his back against you, if maybe he's just so upset with you. But I just want to let you know, that's not the God of the Christmas story, and that's not the God that Jesus is talking about. The God that Jesus is talking about is this God knows how to give good gifts. In fact, something happened way before the Christmas story even arrived to us. That have you ever had a gift and you're so excited that you just can't wait until their birthday? You can't wait until Christmas. You're like, okay, I know it's just 2 days, but go ahead and open the gift. Well, God the Father was like that. He got so excited about the gift that he was going to give you and me for Christmas that he came to a guy named Isaiah some 700 years before Christmas, all right? 700 years, and it was as if God the Father said, I just can't stand it anymore. I want you to write this down. The gift is coming. It's 700 years in the process, but I just got to tell you what's coming your way. Isaiah, he goes to Isaiah, the most famous prophet in the Old Testament. He says, Isaiah, write this down. And Isaiah writes it down and he says this. He begins with this word for, by the way. For unto us. And let me just stop here and say this. Many people, when it comes to the church, many people are more familiar with what the church is against rather than what the church is for. I'm here to tell you today, I don't know what your experience has been with church, but we're here to tell you today that God is for you. He's wrapped in an amazing gift for you. That's the story of Christmas. For unto you, for unto me, for unto us, a child is born. Unto us, a son is given. And the government, the world, will be upon his shoulders. And he's got a name. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is the gift that has been given to you and to me, that there's a son that's been born, a son that's been given, and he has a name. And his name is Wonderful Counselor. His name is Mighty God. His name is Everlasting Father. And his name is Prince of Peace. And what I want to do for a few minutes is I want to tell you how great this gift is that has come to you and me, because it is an extraordinary, luxurious, grace-filled, love-filled gift that's been wrapped for you. Now, for many of us, we're familiar with the Christmas story. We've been around it since we were kids, all right? And that's a good thing for many of us. But if we're not careful, since we've been around this story so much, what happens is we kind of grow accustomed to it. And so I want to take you back to, for many of you, take you back to when you first heard the Christmas story. And this isn't a childish faith, but Jesus said we need to have a childlike faith, because we have a father who's given a good gift to his kids. So I want to take some of us, not all of this, but some of us, you'll kind of remember this. I want to take you back to this. How many of you remember the flannel graph? Not that action, right? So I'm bringing flannel back, people. There we go. So for those of you that aren't familiar with the flannel graph, let me show you how this works. This is really high tech. So basically, we would learn the Christmas story. This is the manger scene, which Honor was telling us about already. She's going to be a great preacher. These are the wise men. And this was Joseph, Jesus' father. Or later on, if you lost a lot of these figures, this would also be David the shepherd boy. You know, that's how this would work, okay? So we learned the Christmas story on this felt board, all right? This is how we learned the Christmas story. But what I want to do is I want to tell you that while this story, we heard about it, it was really cool, really sweet, that's awesome. There's a father who gives great gifts to his kids, and the simplicity of this is powerful when you understand the gift and the lengths to which God went to give these gifts to you. So let me show you how this works. The first gift I want to talk about for just a few minutes is Wonderful Counselor. That, in other words, the wisdom of God is available to you for the taking if you want it. If you think you need wisdom, which on behalf of the people in your life, you do need wisdom. The wisdom of God is available to you. This is what James, the brother of Jesus, said. I love this verse. He said this, James chapter 1, verse 5. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, which the reality for you and me is that there's an area or areas of our lives where we need more wisdom. That's not a criticism. It's just a reality for me. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, and don't miss this, who gives generously. Your heavenly Father is waiting for you and for me to ask him for his wisdom. And he'll give it generously to all without finding fault. He's not going to fold his arms and go, well, you know, I'm not going to give you my wisdom because you need it. No, he's going to give it generously because you've humbled yourself to ask for his wisdom, this wonderful counselor that's available to you. And it will be given to you. Why? Because God has sent you a gift in the form of his son, and his wisdom has a name, and his name is Jesus, a wonderful counselor. But often, sometimes we get too busy to understand the value that's available, the opportunity that's available to us every single day to seek his wisdom. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. A few years ago, I read an autobiography of Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett is arguably the greatest financial investor in our time. He is the richest man in the world. He kind of battles between Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos with Amazon, depending on how the stock market is. Who's the richest man in the world? That has to be a fun game, wouldn't you think? That'd be awesome. So I was really impressed with this book, so I wrote Warren Buffett a letter. I said, hey, my name's Jeff. I work at this church in Atlanta, and I was really impressed with your book, and I was wondering if you would be okay with me flying out to Omaha, and I would like 10 minutes of your time. I just have three questions. I promise you not a single question is asking you for money. I just want to glean your wisdom. So I just wrote this letter and put it in the mail. A few weeks later, I get a letter back from Warren Buffett, the richest man in the world. And in essence, the letter says, dear Jeff, no. All right? But I got a letter from the richest man in the world, okay? Now, let's pretend that Warren Buffett said yes. And then he said, and hey, if you want to, take a few friends from Gwinnett Church and come on out and we'll have lunch together and spend the day together. And if they want to bring their financial portfolio, I'll teach them some of the things that I've learned and I'll tell them and I'll give them some of my perspective on their finances and their investments. I mean, how cool would that opportunity be? Well, with all due respect to Mr. Buffett, we have a far greater opportunity every single day to come to the wonderful counselor and say, Jesus, here's what's going on in this relationship. Jesus, here's what's going on in my financial situation. Here's what's going on in my heart. Here's what's going on in me physically. Here's what's going. Can I glean some of your wisdom? And the heart of God is that God is going to say, yes. You know why? Because he loves you and he's a great, generous God. It's why I tell our students, it's why I tell younger leaders, this is really important because you're gonna listen to somebody. You're gonna listen to song lyrics. You're gonna listen to people out in this world. Be really, really careful with who you listen to. And here's why. Who you listen to is a preview of the future you. Who you listen to is a preview of the future you. So be careful in the words of that great theologian, Elmer Fudd, be very, very careful who you listen to. And what God is saying is, hey, cool, there's some great people out there, but I have sent you a wonderful counselor. Will you carve out time? Will you carve out opportunities? Will you carve out margin to simply listen and hang out with the wonderful counselor? Because if you ask him for wisdom, he will give it to you generously. Now, if that was just the only gift right there, wonderful counselor, that would be huge. But God doesn't stop there. He talks about a mighty God, that his name is not only wonderful counselor, his name is mighty God as well. This is really important for many of us today, because right now, for some of us, no matter where you may be, the student building, Hamilton Mill, down in the mill, in the gallery, here in the theater, some of us are just, and I understand this, flat out exhausted. I mean, you're just hoping to make it through the next 48 to 72 hours, right? This year has got to zap your energy and strength. And God would say this to you, I've given you a gift. His name is Mighty God. And this Mighty God, let me tell you what never runs out with the Mighty God. This never runs out. Strength. His strength never runs out. Some of you, you're so tired, and that's not a criticism, it's just a reality. You just need to ask God for his strength right now. And God will give that to you generously. Now, how does that work? Well, let me give you an example. At the beginning of this year, every January, our staff gets together at the first staff meeting of the year, and I bring them a verse for the year. This is our verse for the year. And for this particular year, knowing that we were getting ready to launch Hamilton Mill, and we'll do that in the next 4 weeks, I knew this was gonna be, you know, a wonderful opportunity, but it's gonna be a mountain, you know? How do we lead you really well here, but also at the same time, launch that other church? And so that was a big mountain. So our verse for the year was this one. It all had to do with strength. Philippians 4:13, a very famous verse, is, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So in essence, what our staff has been saying is, God, this is an incredible opportunity. We love here at Sugar Hill and we love the opportunity there. But at the end of the day, we have to lean on your strength. And we've been speaking to this mountain ever since. And the reason I say that is some of you, you're facing a gigantic financial mountain right now. And you're at the base of the mountain. And you're wondering, how in the world am I going to get to the top of that mountain? Some of you, and I know this because I'm your pastor here. Some of you have suffered a very significant loss this year. You are facing a mountain of grief, and grief is hard. I say that from personal experience. It may not be a financial grief mountain. It may not be a financial mountain. It may not be a mountain of grief, but all of us at some extent have a mountain that's facing us, and we're at the base of a mountain, and we're gonna have to have our energy. And if we choose to run up that mountain on our own strength, at some point we will falter. And that's why I love what my friend Mark Batterson says about the mountains in our lives that you have, that he has, that I have. This is what Mark says. He says, there comes a moment when you must quit talking to God about the mountain in your life and start talking to the mountain about the God in your life. At some point, you got to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to stop talking to God about the mountain in my life, and I'm going to start talking to the mountain about the God in my life and say, financial mountain, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to join a financial peace university group. I'm going to get a small group. I'm going to do whatever I can. But at the end of the day, here's what I'm saying to you, mountain. You might be too big for me, but you're not too big for God. Mountain of grief, you're probably too big for me, but you're not too big for God. And if you're facing a mountain of grief, here's all the things that, and trust me, I understand grief. And the last few years have been really years of grieving for me in lots of different ways. What we have to do is just take a step. God will give us a step just to take one step toward the day so that we can move not away, but move forward. And for all of us, as we're climbing up a mountain, really it's just a strength for one day. And you let the future and tomorrow worry about itself. Jesus said, just focus on the strength for today. And when we say, you have given me a gift of the mighty God, this is strength that comes to you. Supernatural, powerful strength that has been given to you. And do you know why? Because your Heavenly Father knows that you and I will have a limited amount of strength for the mountains that come our way. But a good, wonderful Heavenly Father says, I'm not gonna leave you by yourself. I'm going to provide you with the strength that you need. Now, if those two, just in and of themselves, were the only two gifts we got, wisdom from a wonderful counselor and strength from a mighty God, that would be an extraordinary Christmas. But God keeps going. He calls Jesus this child that is going to be born, the son that's given to us. He calls him the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Peace. Now, of these four that we're looking at, I'm going to ask you to maybe lean in on one, because depending on your particular situation, you might lean more toward needing the strength, or you might need to lean more on the wisdom, or maybe you might need to lean more on the peace. And so what I wanted to share with you today real quick is this is the one personally that I'm leaning into over the next couple of weeks. And what I wanna do is kind of let you know, give you a little insight into my heart, what's happening over the next 2 weeks of why I wanna lean into this from this Sunday to January 6th. To do that, and I've shared this with you before a little bit, I've told you, and if you're new around here, this will be new information to you, but a few years ago, I began to feel really, really sick physically, and so it was like on a Monday, and I was speaking the next Sunday, and I thought, this isn't good, because I gotta preach on Sunday, and I'm not feeling very well, so I went to the doctor. They ran a whole battery of tests. The doctor comes in, and he goes, you're completely healthy. And I said, really? I feel awful. And he said, I think what it is, do you have something coming up in the next few days? And I said, yeah, here's what's going on. And he said, I think what you're suffering from isn't a physical ailment. I think what you're suffering from is anxiety, which manifests itself in physical ways. I thought, really? Not too long after this, at Buckhead Church on the stage during the welcome, I had a panic attack, a slight panic attack. I just couldn't capture my words, which I would not recommend as a good career move to do that. And so I went into counseling for that. And just so you know, just let me tell you a little secret about us pastors. We got our issues too. At least this one does. So what do you do? And please understand, I'm not complaining. I'm not moaning, all right? I don't want you to feel sorry for me. I'm just kind of letting you know in a little bit of a secret, because here's why I say that. On January the 6th, I'm speaking at Buckhead Church. We're beginning a brand new year and a brand new series. The series is called Better, How to Have a Better Year This Year Than Last Year. I'm very excited about it, but I'm speaking for most of the campuses, all right, that Sunday. So between this Sunday and January 6th, I've got a battle with anxiety. Here we go. And right now, the only way I can kind of describe this is kind of like an electric current that's right here. I can feel it. It's out there. And my goal is to make sure it doesn't just do this over the next 2 weeks. So you should come to church on January 6th just to see what happens, people. Right? And again, I'm not moaning and I'm not complaining. It's a huge honor. But as I've said to you before, how would you like to follow Andy Stanley? Okay, so there's all this pressure and all that kind of stuff. So what do I do? Well, I want to give you a strategy. I'm not saying it's the whole strategy. I'm going to give you if you're like, hey, Jeff, I totally suffer with that. I totally understand and can relate to that. And maybe it's not anxiety. Maybe it's worry. Maybe it's fear. So let me tell you a little bit of the strategy that I've used that has allowed me to get up those steps and do what I'm doing now, because I guarantee you, I got today and I got one more service, and then 2 weeks from now, as I'm sitting over there during worship, I'm worshiping and I'm wondering, am I going to have a panic attack on there? That little thought runs through my brain the whole time, all right? So how do I get up here? Well, there's a verse, Ephesians chapter 2, that brings me a lot of peace. Ephesians chapter 2 says, for we are, and Paul's describing who we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This verse tells us who we are and what we can do. Who we are and what we can do. Jeff, you're worried about anxiety? Hey, you're worried about worry? You're worried about fear? Don't forget who you are and what we can do. And as a result of this, I have a little prayer. I came up with a little prayer, and the little prayer is really simple, but it's helped me. It says, Jesus says I can, and Jesus says I am. Jesus says, I can do this. And Jesus says, I'm his workmanship. I can climb up those steps and do what he's called me to do. But not only that, I literally carry this verse and this statement. This is the prayer. Jesus says, I can. Jesus says, I am. And this is the verse that I literally wear with me to come up here. And mine actually has a Georgia Bulldog logo on it. So that may have ruined a lot of this for some of y'all. But the point of it is this. For me, what I need for at least the next 2 weeks, I need all this, but for the next 2 weeks, God, will you give me your peace? Will you let this little electric current, this, you know, out here, and I can feel it now, but can you just let it stay out there so that in 2 weeks I can just walk up the steps at Buckhead Church and do what you've called me to do? At the end of the day, it's not about me anyway, it's about you. And just so you know, that's exactly what happened when I climbed up these steps. So the peace that's available to you, to me, is the same peace that's available to you. Now, you might not need peace. Maybe you need the wisdom. Maybe you need the strength. Maybe you're like me, you need it all. The good news is, God's not even done yet. He gives this child, this son, there's so much theology in this, we don't have time to get into it just today, but he gives this child this name, which is amazing. Everlasting Father. Now, this, I could talk about this for so long, but I'm just going to talk about one portion of this, which I think is so important, which I think is so indicative of the heart of God for you. Earlier this year, we talked about the fact that something that we all wanted growing up is a blessing from our parents. We wanted a blessing from our mom and our dad. And what does a blessing look like? Well, it looks like this. We wanted the acceptance of our mom or dad. We wanted the belief of our mom and dad, that they would believe in us. We would want the affirmation that they would affirm us. We would want to know that our mom and dad love us, and we would want to know that they're proud of us. And you've seen this, you know, during the summertime, maybe you got a kid or grandkid, or you've seen this, that you're hanging out at the pool, and there's this kid that's saying, mom and dad, they're standing at the ledge, they're saying, mom and dad, and what do they say next? Watch this, right? Watch this. They jump into the pool. They get out and they look at their mom and dad, or maybe they're looking at you, and they'd say, what did you think? And they said, oh, you said it was wonderful. It was great. And then they get out of the pool and they do the same dive 99 times because there's something in us that wants to hear all of this from our mom and our dad. And for some of us, we struggle seeing God in the role of a wonderful father because we didn't get this from our earthly father. And that's not your fault. But what I want to encourage you, and with all due respect to your dad and my dad, our everlasting Father is the perfect Father. And all of this that you wanted from your earthly dad is available to you from your heavenly dad. Don't miss this. Jesus comes on the scene and he gives God a new name. And the name of God is really important. And Jesus says, here's the name. Why don't you call him Abba, Papa, Daddy? Groundbreaking new information about God, because he's a wonderful, perfect, loving Father who wants to bless you with his belief, his acceptance, his affirmation, his love, and the pride that he feels knowing that you are his idea. Don't forget that. You are a wonderful, beautiful idea of God's. And when you start criticizing yourself, be careful, because you're not just criticizing you, you're criticizing the artist who created you. Be careful. Because the God who created you says, look at her, look at him. That's my son. That's my daughter. And the problem is, many of us don't feel like this because of things, maybe our track record, maybe things that are going on, the brokenness in our life. Don't miss this. God is not surprised by the brokenness in your life. God's not surprised by the brokenness in my life. That's why he sent us a Savior. And you might look at this and go, Jeff, you don't understand. You don't understand what I've done. Hey, that's maybe true. But you don't understand, perhaps, or maybe you need to be reminded of the lengths that God went to, the price that he had to pay to give you this. Because these wonderful gifts, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father, they're wonderful gifts, but Gwinnett Church, Student Building, Hamilton Mill, Gallery here at the theater, don't miss this. This gift, it wasn't free. It cost him something. And what he was willing to do and the price he was willing to pay shows you how much he loves and believes in you. And I want to show you the price that he paid for all of this to happen. This is the price that he paid for you to have a wonderful counselor in your life, to have a mighty God in your life, to have the peace available from Jesus in your life, and to have an access to the Father. It came through the death of Jesus on the cross. Don't forget, yes, great news, for unto us a child is born. That child, that son, was destined to die on your behalf because God was willing to crush him in order to save us. That's the power. That's the beauty. That's the story of Christmas. Now, I know these words are all kind of, all the type A's in the world. I say, Jeff, can you get this straighter over here? I totally understand that. But don't miss this. Many of us have allowed the crookedness sometimes or the complexity sometimes of the messengers to get in way of the message. And so what I want you to do today, what I want to do for you today is I just want to get out of the message and let you see it for what it is. And I'm telling you, gang, this is an extraordinary, extravagant, luxurious gift that has been given to you. That's how much God loves you. That's how much he cares. But don't take my word for it. Take Isaiah's. He said, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The government, the whole world, the whole thing, it's going to be on his shoulders. Some of you, you think the world rests on your shoulders. Can you take that off of your shoulders and place it on his today? And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And that is why we do what we do here at Gwinnett Church. We want to celebrate when people receive the gift. It's why at the end of the year, our final services, our final Sunday of the year, here's what we do, not just for Christmas, but it's because of Christmas as well. But we come to a moment where we want to light a candle. And I'm going to invite some of you to light a candle and come forward. We're going to have our guest services teams come forward now, and you just go up to them. You've got a candle in front of you or on below your seat. If this was the year you took a step toward receiving the gift of God this year, I want you to come forward and light a candle. And then I want you to come back and take it to your seat, and then I want you to light the candles around you. Because when you receive the light of the world and take it into the school, into the workplace, into the neighborhoods, that's how the light grows in this dark world. So here's what I'm asking those of you to do. Those of you that were baptized this year, we had 122 people baptized just this year here at Gwinnett Church. If you were baptized this year, I want you to come and light a candle. Or maybe you came back to church for the first time in quite a long while. You took a step toward God. I want you to come and light a candle. Or some of you, you signed up to serve for the very first time. What you're doing is you're taking a step toward God. And I want you to come forward and light a candle. But not only that, I believe there are people here all throughout our building today who would say for the very first time, you want to receive the gift of Jesus. And I'm going to invite you to come light a candle as a sign to your heavenly Father that you want to receive the gift of Jesus. What better Sunday to receive the gift of your Savior? What better Sunday to receive all of this than this Sunday? So come up and light a candle. And then go back to your seat and light the candle around you, because that's going to be a sign of what God's going to do through you. You're not too small for the gospel. God knows who you are, but the gospel's too big to stay with just you. And as you do, as we see this room light up, as we see what the Spirit of God has done to light your life, it's a reminder that the light of the world has come, and he is a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, the Prince of Peace, and it's a sign of the generous heart of our wonderful, good, gracious, everlasting Father.